Page 824 in the Church Bibles. When it's a short passage, we read the whole thing all together, okay? Minister and congregation. So let us read it together. Verse 13. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Amen. Let us pray. God and Father, thank you for your word for us here today, this morning, this place. For the people you have gathered here to hear this word. For the work of your Spirit teaching us this word, Lord. Doing whatever it is necessary and appropriate in his work to make us holy and prepared for that great day when we will meet our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for this word to be effective in our minds and hearts here today. We pray for your people to be fed by this word. And we pray for it to work in accordance to your will, whether it be for our consolation, comfort, strengthening, instruction, training, or even rebuke. Have mercy on us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Scotland today, I think, suffers from two terrible problems regarding children. From a demographic point of view, we are not breeding enough children. Hence, the constant emphasis on immigration so that we will have the right supply of people in the work market. I don't think there is anything wrong with immigration in principle as it plays its role in world economy. Receiving workers from other parts of the world who, by the way, tend to be more focused and committed to than the native. At least the first generation of immigrants. That means they work harder and they work longer. But back to the issue at stake, we have a deficit because we tend to have small families and we are very liberal with the issue of abortion. According to the termination of pregnancy year ending 2018 document, published by the NHS Scotland, termination rates for the period of 2009 to 2018 were 12,000 on average. So I'm not giving you the exact numbers. I'm just giving you a round number. Some years over just 11,000, other years over just 13,000. So I'm just trying to find an average number here to work with, which is 12,000. And that's on page 6 of the document. Basically, we breed less. And in the last 10 years, if we include this year, thinking that the trend hasn't changed for the year 2019, we will have killed 120,000 children in the womb. Most of them 10 weeks and younger, with a few exceptions of 10 weeks and older. So we are becoming an old Scotland because we don't breed and because we kill those who are in the womb. The second problem is that as a country, we have strongly discouraged parents to bring up children as Christians. And that's a second problem with regard to children in this country. It is common now to find people who are second, maybe third generation, not Christian or not religious altogether. And if you ask me who to blame, I would say that the first to blame is the church, when trusting that the state would support the Christian religion as the state sponsored, the state established religion. And when the church believed that the state was going to do that, the church was extremely naive. The Church of Scotland transferred its schools to the state if I'm correct in my research here, in 1872, there is an act, 1872 act, so all the schools under the supervision and the guardianship of the church, they were handed over to the state supervision and guardianship. Something the Catholics didn't do. Although Catholics and Episcopalians were brought into the system in 1918, the Catholic retained more control over the Christian ethos of their schools than the others. And that is the case even to this day. Praise the Lord for that. And therefore, we have lost control over the process of at least having a whole generation better informed on what Christianity is really about. It might be that the Church of Scotland as an institution has also lost its spiritual compass and no longer knows where to go, so better someone else to give guidance to its children. The second to blame are the parents, at least some of them. Their mistake can be summarized in two fields. Some parents never learned what is the Christian message, what the Christian message is all about. And once the social convention on Christianity changed, they just went with the flow. They used to go to the church, but they themselves needed to have the gospel preached to themselves. But because they didn't have the gospel, they didn't have the gospel to share and to bequeath to their children in the first place. Maybe they didn't want to know about the gospel. Maybe they had a wrong idea of what religion is all about, and therefore the waters, when they passed from them to their children, were corrupted. Sorry for the wrong word, and poisoned. What shall I ask? Or what shall I say about a message that takes you away from God's presence? There were others, though, who made a different kind of mistake. Instead of abandoning Christianity and therefore hindering their children from learning from it, they became legalists, offering their children a caricature of Christ, who very soon were to be rejected. So it's a very hard battle to fight. You have the state no longer supporting the church in sharing the gospel with the kids, in sharing the gospel on a daily basis as they go to school. So together with matters of literacy, you would also be instructed in matters of gospel, of catechism, for example, which used to be the practice. So remove that. And then you have in the house, in the family house, and people there who were entrusted with children to bring them up in the instruction of God's will and word and gospel. They either simply had that flow completely interrupted, because once social convention has changed, so the gospel was removed from the household. Or, in some other occasions, the parents had a misunderstanding about what the gospel is, and it becomes a set of very rigid and oppressive rules that has very little to say about the grace of God in Christ. And willing or unwillingly, they've become more like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, about whom Jesus will say, "You do not enter the kingdom, and yet you stand at the doors of the kingdom, hindering everyone to enter it." And just to be clear, I also have children, and I understand the weight of these words, okay? So there's a discrepancy here in the passage between Jesus and the disciples. Having taught them on the issues of married life, Matthew sees fit to include the episode of children, as if we're still talking about the household. Matthew sees it fit that children are being brought to Jesus. It's fit to narrate that, to report that Jesus are here available for children to be brought to him in order to be blessed. The blessing would consist of the laying of hands on their heads, followed by a prayer and maybe a specific word of blessing. I bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord, the Aaronic blessing or any other form of blessing. May you grow wise and strong and happy under the protection of God. May the word of God grow deep roots inside of your soul, changing and molding your mind in such a way that you will grow to be a man or a woman of God. Whichever form of blessing you think, something positive, God-honoring, and beneficial to the person receiving that blessing. Having already used children to highlight the heart attitude of a true disciple, Jesus now goes further. It is true that the kingdom belonged to such as they are, the children. But for that reason, children should always be welcomed by the disciples of Jesus. And there I say, as disciples of Jesus. Why to start discipleship when they're older? You don't do that for anything else in life. Who are the best sports people in the world? Those who started at their 50 or those who started at the year 5? Thinking about gymnasts, when do they start? And it's a very short-lived career, isn't it? But to have those young teenagers doing what they do with all the somersaults and all the acrobatic performances they do, they have to start very early and they work very hard, and the parents are so pleased to see them doing that. What is the best age for you to start learning 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many languages? At my age? I remember when my children came to the UK, they didn't know a single word in English. Maybe yes and no, thank you. Well, that's not much of knowing English, is it? After a year, they were more fluent than I. So why families think that they need to grow up and then decide for themselves whether they are going to be Christians or not? Teach them Christianity and let them opt out, not opt in. Because that's what you do for the rest of their education. You do not allow them to opt out maths. You do not allow them to opt out English. You do not allow them to opt out PE. You do not allow them to opt out whichever is compulsory in primary and secondary education. Only later, age 6, 15, 16, 17, 18, you will start asking them the questions, what you want to do with what we have already provided you with. But there are still people in this world today and in some churches who think that that's the way, because they think it's fair. Whereas Jesus in this passage, he is saying it's terribly unfair to children when they're hindered from coming to be in their Savior's arms, prayed for and blessed. The ones brought to Jesus are still very young and need their parents to take them to him. In the sense, they are the humblest, the most powerless, and dare I say, the most voiceless, like the ones in the womb. And Jesus saying, let them come to me. For that reason, they are completely passive in this passage. Jesus sees them approaching with approval. He wants them to be where he is. He wants to spend his precious time with them. He wants to pray with them and for them. He wants to remove all barriers to grant them access to him. He will not move. Where is Jesus going? To Jerusalem, to die for the forgiveness of sins of an entire race, past, present, and future. But he has time to stop. He will not be delayed when parents or guardians or whoever bring children to him and he sits down. It is still within his program. It is still part of his priorities. Only then he will proceed on his way to Jerusalem. And in this journey to Jerusalem, you will notice that Jesus has time again and again and again for people to approach him and ask serious, hard, soul-searching questions. Some of them will be very pleased with that encounter. Others will be very displeased. But Jesus has time for them. So the question for us this morning as disciples of Jesus, or the questions are these. How are we enabling our children today to come to Jesus? Are we teaching them the cycle of weekly worship and rest on a Sunday? Because it's become a habit of people to skip church for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks and then come back. Let me tell you, that's not going to help your children to create a routine of worship and rest, as we've been learning through the Ten Commandments, and an opportunity of have the beginning of each week marked by an act of worship and dedication to God through prayer and praise, as well as receiving the Word of God on a regular basis. Once a month doesn't do it. They will spend a whole week, what they hear in school during a week has the power to undo what you try to convey to a child for one Sunday a month. The spiritual backbone of your children will not grow strong if you do not exercise that very early in their walk with their Lord, Savior, and Master Jesus Christ. Think of your children also as people who are being discipled by Jesus Christ. And this is a breakthrough, culturally speaking. Jesus welcomes the sinners. Jesus welcomes the tax collectors. Jesus welcomes the women. And Jesus welcomes the children. Are we supporting children's Christian work, such as, linked to the first question, Sunday school or Sunday club, Bible class, free church and SU camps, whose main purpose is not to entertain our boys and girls, but to open doors for them to come and see Jesus for themselves? And I understand the challenge here, because is church boring to children? And sometimes that's the question that is guiding parents as to where to take their children. Whereas the question is that church teaching the gospel to children, even if they lack in creativity? And let us be honest, the church will never be a BBC. Churches will never be any of the pay channels you have at home. Children's channels, we will never be as well equipped as that. That could get your child's attention for 2, 3 hours nonstop. We're not here to entertain children, to bring them up. That's what we're doing, bringing them up under the influence of God's word and gospel. And yes, we will be creative. We will use drama. We'll use musics with actions. We'll use whatever is available and appropriate, but not at the expense of the purpose for which we bring these children here and we bring them to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. What about our vows as parents when we baptized our children? We promised to pray for them and with them. We promised to bring them to weekly worship. We promised to read the Bible with them and teach them the gospel. In the old Brazilian Presbyterian baptismal formula, there was another question associated with education. We gave believers the purpose for educating their children. Do you promise, I did it so many times, do you promise to teach your child to read and write so that your child could read, pick up the Bible and read the Bible for themselves and therefore benefit from the blessings that are there in this book, the word of the gospel, the words of consolation? Will you do? Do you promise? You have to remember, levels of illiteracy are much higher there than they are here, if there is any level of illiteracy here compared to what you see still in Brazil. I remember having an elder. He was a church elder my first year as a licensed preaching minister. And I once brought him a newspaper because he offered me hospitality. I was single then, and normally I would have lunch or dinner with him and his wife, lovely, hospitable couple. And he said, "No, thank you, I don't want the newspaper." "Why?" I can't read the newspaper." "What do you mean I can't read the newspaper? I see you reading the Bible in the church." "I only read the Bible because I learned to read from the Bible. So when I read other things, you know, the words don't make sense. I can only read the Bible." No problem with your children reading Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, a series of unfortunate events. I saw my children reading that, all big, thick books. What about the Bible? I know. We promise those things. And as a church, we stand up and we promise that we will support the parents and encourage them to continue to do that. Jesus says, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For Jesus, it is a kingdom matter and priority." He says in verse 14, "For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." If it's Jesus' priority, so should be ours as well. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, God and Father. As Lord parents, we might feel a little bit challenged by the word this morning. Have mercy on us as a church, so Lord, that we will find the means and the ways through which we will continue to convey the gospel to all ages through the ministry of this church. Have mercy on us, Lord, so that instead of adding another legalistic note to our minds, sometimes so hungry for such things, we pray that our heart will be filled with the notion of the graciousness, the patience, the lovingness, the forgiveness Christ has for all, regardless of age or any other different background. And enable us, Lord, as people of the kingdom, to pass on this understanding of the kingdom of heaven that has a blessing to bestow upon people, that conveys the very presence of the King Jesus Christ, who takes those children in his arms and who imparts upon them his virtue and grace. And help us be a community of believers that celebrates that grace, that finds delight and joy in the word of grace and salvation in Christ, to the point of prioritizing that for ourselves and future generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.